I'll do it.
Hey guys, this is Sarah Posh. I'm here with my partner in crime, fellow light worker Rocky Russo, and we're here to talk about self-care for light workers. How do we prevent burnout for the light workers of the world? Welcome, Rocky.
Hey, what's up? No, seriously though, how is everybody today? I hope everyone is good and happily spreading light and love the way that we do, the way that we've been called to do so, and we have no other way to do.
Yeah, so the conversation today though is actually around kind of a harsh topic here. What happens when the light worker goes out and feels like burnout and really is losing their light, their capacity to have their brightness in the midst of so much going on in the world? What do we do? You know, like, how do we keep ourselves bright, light, and motivated to serve?
It's such an important question. I think the whole topic in itself can be turned into a book or an idea or a podcast. In fact, because it's something that is so often swept under the rug, you know, that, like, I don't know, in the words of someone I love profoundly, who's going to take care of the caretaker?
Take care of the caretaker.
That person's you. We so often forget about ourselves and the process. If we're new to this, I'll add that. I was actually having a conversation today with a fellow servant, and I will kind of delineate between light worker and servant between this because of the fact that he, like, it was such a profound way of understanding the difference between someone who serves and someone who is called to bring light into the world, and being able to understand that if I am not at my best, then light cannot work through me properly. There's too much in the way that blocks it out. So to your question, what do we have to do? What practices are in place? What habits? What rituals? There's so many. There's so many. We can get into all of that, but I think it might be beneficial to talk about some of the ways in which it can go south so easily if we're not taking care of ourselves, because we see that so often in our line of work, you know, or our line of watering.
Yeah, well, and I think it's interesting too that you said a difference between service and light worker, and I think what's different is that, and you were telling about your conversation with your friend before, when you guys were trying to really decide, like, what is the difference, because you both have such a passion to serve and to help and to uplift others. But the difference is, I think, rather than contributing to single acts and significant ways of service, right? Like, what does he do again? He puts out a lot, he works on a lot of the forest fires in California when he's called on. Mm-hmm. Right. Versus when I think of a light worker, I think of somebody who pretty much, it's like an invisible light that is just in the everyday stratosphere. They could be somebody at a grocery store checking out groceries. It could be somebody who's, you know, teaching yoga like you and I do, a life coach. But the point is, it's more of who you are to every interaction that you bring, every conversation. And so one calls for, I think, a little bit more solitude. Or what I've realized lately is, like, solitude is almost not enough. I'm finding that me as well as other light workers are really, like, coming together and having to form these, like, mini communities to kind of escape reality so that we can bring that light back to reality. And self-care is no longer just by yourself, you know? Like, that's, I think, what's changing too, what's evolving with so much shifting universally and collectively.
Yeah, I can I agree. I mean, I think there can definitely be something to be said about those transcendental experiences, you know, those kinds of gatherings or communities of light workers, whether it be in conscious gatherings like festivals or in your local yoga studio or even in like, you know, an open-minded art class, if you will. I mean, you can find that so many different places if you're open to it, and that's kind of what you're seeking. But I don't know, there is that call to almost find, create, or be the source of that community and open the doors in any situation possible, which is kind of what you were alluding to, and that every situation becomes opportunity for the addition to more community. And this kind of goes back to the topic we were talking about earlier at dinner of, you know, duality versus non-duality and monotheism versus dualistic thinking, of just how possible it can be to forget that the conversation at hand with our waitress could quite possibly...
Her name was Brittany. She was great. Yeah. I liked her a lot.
Could quite possibly turn into something more than just a conversation because of the light that we were able to spread into that very situation and, you know, to maybe shine on Brittany and show her that the world is not full of ego and arrogance and me and what I need to do and you know, realizing you were just a servant to me, but instead that we are all servants, and I am grateful for the service that you're providing to me right now, and maybe you show up at one of my yoga classes and I'll provide the same to you. But I need to remain clear. I need to remain free from all lower negative frequencies that could possibly bring my light down or lower my lumens.
Yeah.
So that I can serve her properly if she were to show up to my class, or if you were to show up to my
class. But that's where I'm saying it's not even, as a light worker, like, lately, I have my practices for self-care. For me, personally, like, I love and need solitude, and, you know, it's, nature is huge for me, and just walking in nature, dancing in nature, whatever it is, painting, anything that gets me just free of thinking. But lately, it's felt like that's not enough. The practices I can do it myself aren't enough, and that's where I have to reach out to, like, one-on-one, just... I mean, you and I hanging out, you know, it's like, it's so refreshing to just be around in kind of a solitude experience, whether it's a texting conversation, a phone conversation, an actual like dinner with another light worker, where it's like, that's a recharge in and of itself. And I think that's kind of what I was trying to allude to is, yeah, like the group things are one thing, but even just like the personal, like light workers leaning literally one-on-one on each other and just saying like, taking turns, you know, being there for each other to relight.
Yeah.
And relate, right? And relate to the fact that, like, today I was texting another light worker, just being honest about the fact that, like, it's like a tired mom, you know? It's like, I've been giving a lot of light and I need the kids to pick up their shit. Like, I mean, I just need somebody that I can say I'm tired to without it going into a spiral of negativity. I need somebody where I have that safety to have a moment without it being reflected back to me as like something's wrong, you know? And that's, I guess, what I'm trying to say is that kind of space.
Totally. Yeah, I can't have said it better, because it is, I mean, back to the original topic at hand, when the one in which I said needs to be, I have an entire podcast about, which, now coming full circle, and let this all be an entire introduction to what this whole podcast is really about. What are some of the ways in which you, listener, or you, Sarah, have to create that space for yourself? Because as a light worker, by definition, you're providing that light for so many other people. And, you know, coming back to my own conversation with my friend, you know, being in service means that you're putting others before yourself. So what now have you done even prior to the quote-unquote before yourself to make sure that you have a self to give?
Yeah, and I actually just thought of this. As a light worker, it's not even in service to others. I think self-care comes back to remembering what it's all in service of, underlying all of that. You know what I mean? Like, we're serving something higher. And it's in the channel and the conduit of, you know, uplifting others and being that light in a community. But that's where we have to have that sacred no sometimes to kind of say, like, you know, we were talking about earlier. It's like, no, I don't have a TV and I don't read the news because I have to say yes to being able to be a light, and I can't join you there. Like, that's not my role, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I come back to the quote that, you know, you've heard it often, I'm sure, but if you're not standing for something, you're falling for anything. And you can, I mean, quite honestly, if I, as an empath, as a healer, or as a light worker at all, did not fully stand up for and believe profoundly in what I've been called to do, I would be falling for anything, because my heart is too big. I cannot differentiate. Damn heart. And it kind of came as a shock to my closest friend, but I cannot process some of the things that are going on right now in the news or in politics or in you know, in the world around us, because I cannot afford the tears right now.
Right. I mean, and neither can my community, right? Like, because what happens when light workers burn out?
Yeah.
And I think that's worth asking. Mm. You know, we don't ask ourselves, what's the consequence if I lose this? Because it's not just me who loses out. You know, we forget how much of a ripple effect we have. And it's so clear to me. I know when I'm off, you know, or when I'm down, it's like I can't stand going anywhere because everything has shifted for me. Like, I can just see so clearly where I would serve and I'm not able to. And then that, you know, that's just draining even further.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like more defeating. It's a cycle, for sure.
We hit that point. I think both of us, you know, as we've chatted, we've both been there recently.
Yeah.
And so it's not to say that even with all the self-care practices that we do have, which we're happy to unfold some of, you know, in this next little while, it doesn't go into perfection category by any means. We're all still developing our own means of this, and we encourage any more ways of self-care that anyone else might have, because that's what we're here for. Like, we need to stick together for it. We need to. But yeah, I think we were both just talking about recently how we both kind of hit that point of burnout, of like you were just talking about how I'm the tired mom, sick of like
clean up your shit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, and the issue is for me anyways, is what hurts the most when I burn out is my own self, because the truth of who I am is somebody who loves to uplift. I mean, that's, I love love. You know what I mean? Like, I love being that person, and it's what fills me up. So when I'm not doing that because I'm burnt out, I'm really hurting myself more than anyone else. You know, my ability to see myself and be true to myself and have that true belonging to myself. Like, that's, as a light worker, I think when it really comes down to it, we don't do it for anything other than the fact that really, like, it is what serves us, is serving.
Yeah. So what are some of the methods? What are some of the most profound ways that you can share that you get filled back up with light in order to give more light?
I think it's different for everyone. For me, it's conversations. Like, I love information exchange. I love learning. So whether it's conversations between me and a book and that author, or it's conversations between me and the universe where I go on a walk in nature and I just listen to what, you know, like the trees or, you know, the rocks have to say, or it's literally another person. I don't know how many times throughout the day I have so many friends that I just text. I'll be like, did you feel that? Like, I won't even say what I felt and they'll say it. And so for me, it's like, I have to I have to see it in something else other than just myself. Processing so much, feeling so much, it's important for me to make sure I'm not identifying with whatever I'm, you know, picking up on and feeling. And also, lately, I've had a really good time with just obnoxious humor. Like, I just used the term, this shit is bananas, like, often lately. And it's great, because it's just like, how can you take it seriously when you're saying this shit is bananas, you know?
But yet, it is usually at the turning point of something quite profound, because... Yeah, totally. And in that, in the amount of conversation that you just spoke about, I know you inside and out, and I know how much you value your quiet space and your meditation. And just to clarify, some of that conversation that you speak about is very silent conversation.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's there's never silence in the way that most people think of silence, but it's silence in the way that I need to be able to hear myself. If I can't hear myself, if I can't see myself, then, you know, I can't see anybody. And I have a really hard time listening to other people authentically and genuinely. Because that part of me knows. It knows how important it is and valuable it is to hear my own inner wisdom, inner light. My perspective.
Forgive me if this seems like a tangent, but what do you consider yourself, an introvert or an extrovert?
Oh, that's such a good question. Both. I'm not either. Right? I'm totally...
So I've actually developed a word for this.
Okay, what is it?
It's outrovert.
Okay.
It's an outrovert. You're not extra, you're not intro. you're just out of all of it. Kind of like the love languages.
I'm just birded.
Yeah, we just stick with that, yeah.
Well,
but regardless, you know, it's like...
They're medicines for me. They're different medicines for different times. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I need to be introverted and sometimes I need to be extroverted. But that's where, before I even did any meditation, yoga, self-awareness, anything, I thought I was just an extrovert. And come to the conclusion that, like, oh, I need to hang out with myself for a while. I mean, I didn't even know I liked reading until I was, like, 25. So, yeah, at 29, I've got a full library. Anybody wants to rent a book anytime. It's like, I had no idea. I think that's why I love self-discovery so much, and that's why I do coaching and astrology. It's like, yeah, like, learn about yourself, because there's always more to learn. And I don't know. Sometimes I need to extrovert in order to be reminded. Sometimes I need the mirror. You know, sometimes I try to do it on my own too long, and I lose myself.
Yeah.
And that's where it helps to have that camaraderie, that partner in crime, that fellow light worker.
Yeah. And obviously, vice versa. I mean, I've only known you as someone that I would, if I had to, Scorpio me wants to say, if I had to choose between love and dad, I would have to choose that I thought that you might have been more of an introvert. Because that's the side of you that I know, and, you know, over the past really year or so that you've chosen to be more of, to go inward and to face your, you know, the darkness or the paths in front of you that you've been walking and doing such amazing work to get through, which is probably why you're such an amazing coach today.
I think I did the introverted work, though, because I thought, oh man, like Dark Night of the Soul, you've heard that term, right? Yeah. So I thought, oh, I gotta do this, like Dark Night of the Soul, I read the book, you know. But what I found there was so much light, and that's what keeps me coming back.
Right.
You know, it's like, I actually dig my light. I like to hang out with my light alone.
And yeah, I don't think that's an introverted or an extrovert conversation, really, is so much of, can you be quiet with yourself? Or as you like to say, can you just sit with yourself? Right? And I think so many of us light workers hopefully have that practice. We have some kind of a method or multiple methods to plug back into what brings light, right? What fills us up. And so to shed some light on some of those practices. Yeah, I think you've nailed down a couple few ones, and I think what it sounds like is, you know, having that personal practice first and foremost, having a community,
mm-hmm.
and then having something to believe in.
Oh yeah, I love that.
I think all three of those are a huge part of what we can really rest our own laurels on. And if you have something more to add to that, I would love to hear. But I think in all honesty, if I didn't know who I was first and foremost and what I represent and the message that I am here to carry forward, then it would be hard for me to continue seeking new ways in which to spread that light. If I didn't have the community to connect with, like here and now, with you and with these people, and with all the comments and the people that are going to talk about the different ways in which they're spreading light and like filling themselves back up, like I know you are, then it would be tough for me to feel like there's even a community of people that listen and support and understand how important it is to spread the light and see the evolution of humanity and the elevation of like mankind and the world. And then to have the purpose and meaningful reason to get up each day and continue
your doing why. All of that. Your why.
Yeah.
How do you come back to your why?
I love that you ask, because I've been spending so much time on that recently, and a lot of studies in like eudaimonic reasoning of like the bigger purpose of why. The purpose on something greater than just an occupation or a position in your household, but really why? Something that can be called your dharma or your life mission or whatever it may be. I'm creating a workshop right now. It's actually going to, I'll be taking applicants in September or end of August 2018. And the whole entire workshop is based on formulating your personal blueprint, the formula for success for not you, lowercase you, but you, capital Y-O-U, your higher self and the life mission that higher self is connected with. So in order to even be considered for the workshop, you were encouraged to either have or have done some considerable work on your life mission. What are you here to do? At the end of the day, what do you rest your laurels on? What do you believe in? And if you're ready to start nourishing that truth, then that's what this is made for, because we go through all kinds of different work, all kinds of different ways of filling back up your own light. Through physical activities, nutrition, mindfulness-based activities, community-based activities, and it's a way to nourish that. But
You know what? I have two questions though for you on that. So, well, one is a point. One's a question. One is a point which I was talking to somebody last night, and we were talking about how when these waves of kind of energy come up, these stories come up, and a lot of times, like, lightworkers are empaths, and you have an inside-out view of what's, you know, moving through collectively. And the main way to get through the old muck, the stories, the fear-driven, lack-based stories, is to reconnect with why. You know, having that why reminds you how to, like, have that surrendered action. Mm. You know, how to stay above and just live in an elevated way where we're not just attached to outcomes and we're not fearful of, you know, getting what we need or not getting what we need.
Mm.
So I think it serves so much in that way too, to keep us anchored, you know, to keep us going, to keep us surrendered and in action, so that we're not getting ahead of ourselves and we're not getting stuck into that drive of ego and fear.
Can I interrupt really fast and just
come
in? That is the entire reason why the life mission has been the lens for the entire workshop. in sharing so much of the skills and so many of the practices and tools that I have accumulated throughout the years that I've been doing this is because I see that time and time and time again, you join all of a sudden, like what I refer to as the kombucha drinking crowd, right? The spiritual community or the enlightened, or the conscious collective, the people who go to yoga and believe that they are spiritual and whatever, you know, like we're a part of that. That's a great. But if for being as enlightened as we are, we're some of the shallowest people in a lot of ways. I mean, we don't have a thing to rest our laurels on because, you know why? Like, and forgive me, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't have a book. We don't have a doctrine. We don't have a Bible or a Quran or even a church to call our own that has these set rules or someone to follow. We have to make it up ourselves.
And coming back and to, we have to follow them ourselves. We have to keep ourselves accountable. Yeah.
Entirely, yes. And so if we don't have either of that, then again, we can come back to it. If you're
there's no backbone.
If you're not following, if you're not standing for something, you're falling for everything.
There's no backbone, right? Like there's nothing holding the flag in and of itself. It can wave in the wind, but like that's kind of, I don't know, that's the image that came to me when you said that earlier.
Yeah, it can be a new flag every single day and you can be completely fine with it. And you see it time and time and time again. Because people are so loose, so flaccid to just follow the next best
thing in the
conscious community. Whatever the next guru is saying, then we're going to all follow them. What do you stand for? What is your life mission? What are you here to do?
I love it. Yeah. And that actually leads perfectly into my next thing. And my question is, it sounds so simple, but how does someone even start to contemplate what is their purpose? Mm. What does that mean? And what brought you to, like, why do you even question it? Mm. You know? Because I know for me, there's a lot of reasons. It wasn't just like, I really want to know what my purpose, you know? I was pushed to a corner. For you, like, what was it for you? And when you see this workshop, what do you hope inspires people to do that? Or what are you going to offer them to?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few great tools out there, which I have attached to your multiple of your introductory emails, so that hopefully one of them hits home.
Read the emails, people. All right.
but in reality, that's the case. It's like, I know that there's not one right way. Like, you're going to find out what you're here to do in whichever way best suits you. You are the best professional in your own life. I have no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So by the time I get a piece of you, if I'm able to, then it's really more about what did you discover in yourself that led you to want to nourish that even more. That's the logo, like the title of the entire program is Nourish Your Purpose. Did you figure out your purpose? And if so, how can we then take care of it? There's all kinds of ways. Me personally, I have to give major props first of all, to my own parents, who are the most selfless people that I know, you know, giving in every circumstance possible, even when they didn't have much at all, but it was always in an act of service to provide and create more abundance for what they've produced and you know what they see as the future in the world that they created. But even the term life mission is something I have to, I can't use it without mentioning the name Ian Finn.
I laugh because I light up watching you light up every time you say his name. I'll meet him someday.
Yeah, definitely will. And Ian Finn is the creator of Blissology yoga school, and if you've been a part of any one of his programs, you're familiar with this term, life mission. And it's something that he kind of so nonchalantly threads into every one of his teachings, trainings, and workshops. Because no matter what he's teaching, whether it's mind-body medicine or yoga asana practice or more the philosophy or yogic by nature, he knows that none of it is really going to have any kind of a profound effect if you don't know first and foremost who you are and what you represent and what you're here to do. That's I mean, that's just the truth of it. I mean, you're going to be just, as he says, why bob in the water when you could surf? And there's all kinds of Surfing Indianisms out there, but yeah. If you know where you're meant to go, then you're going to look for every path possible to help you achieve that. But first, it's truly and profoundly knowing that truth of where you're meant to go.
Yeah, and I can say from personal experience, you find ways to bring it back. And that's where, you know, following the moons for me, it was like, how can I thread this purpose into every intention I set? You know, every cycle, every theme. I want to say, because it's really just like highlighted in my mind right now, you said the words, you know, there is no one way. And I think in that, there is only one way, and it is specific to every person, you know? And that's where it's like...
Yes, wow.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, like, I love that. But it's like, that's what I like about your workshop, too, is it's all cultivated around the idea that I don't want to tell you the purpose. I want to guide you to find it for yourself. Yes. Just like coaching or teaching yoga, you know, all the practices we both do and share... And love, it's an empowering practice. It's really, I think, everything we've talked about as far as self-care goes, it comes back to the idea of, like, self. Like, you know, you are a unique person with unique needs, unique things that feed you and fill you. And, you know, and it's important to admit when you need help outside of yourself. It's important to be honest when we feel like a cranky, tired soccer mom who wants to throw the balls at the kids. You know, like, it's okay. I think humility, honesty, and a lot of self-love is just like, it's all the right tools, the right components. And everyone has their own concoction, which is like perfect for them.
Absolutely, yeah. Their own concoction. Their own special potion that they have formulated. And yeah, I have blogs on this as well, on that kind of, what is the most, I sent you this one recently, on that behind the scenes routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of the you know, the things in which, you know, that idea of taking care of the caretaker. What do I need to do on a regular basis in order for me to better take care of you?
Yeah. But in the idea, I love that you brought that up, actually, because recently this was new for me. I am a huge, like, advocate for meditation every day. And I had this meditation practice for 2018 for the first, like, 70 days. I literally meditate every single day.
And then you start hanging out with me.
No, it wasn't you. No, but honestly, it's that idea. I love that image of a flag, again, because, yes, there is a rooted standing and commitment to, you know, nurturing my self-care, my practice, but it had to change. And I was so resistant to that at first. Like, I didn't want to wave my flag. Like, I didn't want the wind to move the flag because I was so afraid it was going to move my pole. And I think it's like, okay, I had to trust where my pole was enough. I had to trust my commitment, my intention, and my integrity to, like, to my purpose, my life mission enough to be able to say, you know, now I sit twice a day for much shorter times. Sometimes it's only once. And now I do, you know, dancing every day. I do throat chakra exercises. But so it's like that flexibility and strength. And I think that's also really important for light workers, is we have to be able to be adaptable without being, without collapsing, you know, without just like giving up and not holding true.
Yeah. I love that you said that. Not only because I know that, you know, hanging out with my fast-moving self has helped you to come to realize that, but yeah, I just had this image of, like, you know, it's not really the flag that you're flying, but the ground that you lie the stake in that matters most.
Or the flag, what is the representation of the flag? Like, what's painted on that flag? You know what I mean?
What ground you laid in? Going back to your analogy, though.
No, I mean, it's still the same analogy. It waves in the air, but the image, the symbolic nature of what the flag represents, like, think of the American flag, you know what I mean? It waves, but it's always got the stars and the stripes.
Yeah.
It can be planted anywhere. So I guess I maybe messed up my own analogy because I was thinking that, but
one way or another, we
get what we're saying. You're picking up what I'm putting down, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that you're right though. Like when I met you, it was I admired the amount of commitment you had to sitting for at least 20 minutes every morning. You had your timer, you had everything about it. And that was great, that was diligent, that was awesome. And I love the way that it's adapted since, because it's helped you to explore just new realms of what is possible in your own understanding of self and of how energy can move through you and opening up to all kinds of new realms. And that's necessary and just, God, I think that's important for every one of us to recognize that what we have right now as self-care is adaptable. It's worth putting up on the chopping block and seeing if there's parts that are worth shedding away so that we can make way for evolution in our own self, in our own self-care practices, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so much of what we do as light workers is heal, is help show the way. If we're not open to seeing light in our own methods, our own practice, then who are we? Who are we?
In new ways, is what you're saying. Like, right. If we're not open to seeing it in new ways, then, yeah.
Yeah, we're light workers. We can't see the light. Then what good are we?
Yeah. Yeah, I think having that flexibility while having, in the simultaneous sense, an anchor to purpose, you know?
Yeah.
So... yeah, I love all of that, and I think this conversation, like you said, we could write a whole book on it. We could talk about this, obviously, forever, and, you know, who knows, maybe we'll just keep doing episodes on this and hearing what people have to say and what they want to chime in with, but I think overall, we came out with some really good stuff. Life mission, the shit is bananas. You know, some friends, some fellow light workers, like, reach out. Community, it's important. What else do you think is, like, the main takeaway? Stay light. Stay lighthearted with your light working.
Yeah, be flexible through, be flexible through it all, but know what's true at the end of the day. Know what's true and continue finding the light in all of it. You remind me of that every day. Just in the approach that you have to life when maybe it doesn't seem like it's going to be a great day, but you are reminding me each and every day that today it's going to be a good day. And it seems almost cheesy in that, but it's like, You have the choice every single day to view this as a lot of tasks and things that you don't want to partake in or another opportunity, another blessing, right? So the change has to start with us, and it has to start with our own attitude and our view towards the world that we get to have an effect on, by definition, as light workers.
Mm-hmm.
So how many lumens of light are you going to bring into that world, I think, is really just up to you to understand and to define in yourself. So, yeah, I would love to hear any more practices that anyone else has and to share with us and with anyone else to find out what is. And I'm happy to, I'll post my blog as well and, you know, refine that to show kind of the things that I go through daily to make sure that I am at my best before I go try on anything else or try to share my light with anyone else. So that I'm always at my best so that everyone else can be.
What's your website so if people want to find your blogs or look you up? Where do they find you at?
Elevatedbeing.com.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Sarah Posh, Rocky Russo, Partner in Crime. Fellow light worker.
Peace and love.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.